We're going to go to Psalm 119. I'm going to share a few things about being happy. Being happy.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Now, the bars around the world have a happy hour, but Christians have a happy lifetime. Not restricted to 1 hour. It's not like once, whatever the hour is, 5 to 6 or whatever, 6:01, it's back to being unhappy. We can be a happy group, and we're going to look at a couple verses in Psalms, but there's one in particular that just hit me like a sledgehammer this week. Verse 4 of Psalm 119. It says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently," which is pretty wonderful. You know, God doesn't want us to carry them out haphazardly or just here and there or in an insufficient manner. He wants us to carry them out diligently. This verse is just a great verse, and I'm going to read several different translations of it. The King James Version is, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." Another one is, "You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed." Another one is, "Thou hast commanded us thy precepts that we should observe them diligently." Another one, "You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently." Another one, "You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully." Another one, "You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently." "You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently." "Thou hast commanded thy precepts to be kept diligently." "Thou hast commanded us thy precepts to be kept diligently." Same one, same. "Thou hast enjoined thy precepts to be kept diligently." And it keeps going, same basic essence, that he wants us to obey his word in a diligent manner, not to take it haphazardly. And you wonder, why would God want this? Oh, sorry. Why would he want us to do this? Well, it's pretty simple. He wants our lives to be blessed and to be enjoyed. And I understand, as a father, I've given my kids many things to do or to not do. and I expected them to carry them out with diligence. You know, if you tell your kid to do something and they're like haphazardly doing it, you probably say, no, you got to do it. You know, you got to carry this out correctly. And the reason is because you want to see them have a horrible life, right?
No.
Well, God wants us to have an enjoyable life. And he knows that his word is the best thing going. And if he can get his kids or his people to do that in a diligent manner, in the long run, they get really blessed. So he tells us very specifically, you know, keep thy precepts diligently. Keep your ribbon here if you got one. We're coming back. But let's go to Genesis chapter 2. You know, we're to make a very big effort to try to carry out God's word. The other day we had, as you know, Daniel is back in town and he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. We've been endeavoring to get him to do something, and he's refusing. And all these years that we've been dealing with Daniel, Susan and I have been on the same page. We always came to the same conclusion as to what to do next, and it's always worked out. Well, the other day, we were not in agreement, and so for about an hour, you know, we had to figure it out so that it was a blessing. But we were both very diligent in working it out to get it where we're doing what God wants us to do on the circumstance. And it worked out, and, you know, been fine ever since. But had we both said, well, you know, this and that, we'd still be having problems. But, you know, whatever it is in God's Word, we're to diligently put an effort to carrying it out as best as we possibly can. That's what God wants. And it's for our benefit. Here in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 15, we're familiar with this command that God gave Adam. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it," which is the word for work, "to work it and to keep it." And the word keep here is the same one in Psalm 119, verse 4. And it means to guard, to carefully keep care of type of thing. It's to keep, like, you know, with great diligence. Truman lost my flashlight yesterday. He's got this thing about flashlights. A few weeks back, I lent him my flashlight while we were in the car driving, and he's taken it apart, which I didn't know, and then he's trying to put it back together, but he lost one of the parts, so it wasn't working. I said, "Where'd the part go?" He goes, "I don't know. I looked everywhere in the car. I can't find it." So that was ruined. So then he was here yesterday, and we were going to go outside and do a little weeding. So he saw a brand new flashlight on the counter, and it was green, his favorite color. He goes, "Oh, can I take this out with me?" I said, "Sure." Yeah. We're only out there 10 minutes. He comes back in, and he goes, "I lost the flashlight." I said, which was it? "I don't know. I dug a hole, and the dirt fell over it, and I don't know where it is." So that's not the keeping that God is interested in. The guarding. He wants us to guard the Word. He wanted Adam to guard that garden. And, of course, as we know, the serpent got in, and he lost what he had. Same word. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 24, while we're in the neighborhood. After Adam and Eve were removed out of the garden, God put this angel, verse 24, says, "So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." And that's that same word, to guard. And you know that if God set up cherubims to guard something, those guys are going to make sure the cherubim doesn't get eaten or touched. They were going to do their job. They were commissioned, so to speak, to do it, and they did it, I'm sure, very diligently. Let's go back to Psalm 119. And, of course, there is a thief in this world that tries to steal the Word out of our lives. Anybody know who that is? The devil, right? And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. It got stolen out of Eve's heart. Adam went in eyes wide open. But we are to, as it says in verse 4 of 119, "Thou hast commanded us to keep or guard thy precepts diligently." So let's go, we're going to back up to verse 1. We're going to read a few of these verses. And it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." And the word undefiled means without blemish or perfect, but not perfect and without fault. But another one is it's used as without spot or uprightly. So blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And I wanted to read a little definition of the word blessed. There's two words for blessed in the Old Testament, or blessed, blessedness. And one of them, which is the one for here, the definition is to walk straight on. When I read that, I was like, what's that got to do with blessed? Blessed, to walk straight on. The word that signifies to go signifies also to be happy or blessed, because our way or motion showeth what our end or rest shall be. Our happiness in the end lieth virtually in our way. So depending on what direction you're going, what path you're going down, will depend on whether you're going to be blessed or not, or happy or not. Kind of makes sense. Proverbs is loaded with, go down this road, don't go down that road, and shows the differences, the fruit of going down God's way and the fruit of going down a different way. So God says blessed or happy are the undefiled in the way, those who are without blemish, so to speak, of trying to walk the law of the Lord. Blessed, same word, happy are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. That's the direction that individual's going. I remember as a teenager looking for truth, and I went in a lot of directions. And every direction I went in was not a good one. But I did have one good practical thing about myself, is that if I was going down and decide, okay, I'm going to try this out, I'd look at the people that have been in it for a while. And if they look pretty beat up or screwed up or messed up, I'd say, that's probably not a good one. Then I turn to a different direction and I look at those people. And I'm not going. So I didn't dabble very long. I remember the last one I thought of that way, as a freshman in college, I played rugby. And I thought, oh, this is fun. But all the guys that were juniors and seniors, they had crooked ears or crooked noses, teeth missing. Every one of them. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to play this anymore. Because you get in these lockheads, it's like, you feel like your head's going to be ripped off. So God says, hey, the path for happiness is my word. And that's why he commands us, do it diligently and you'll get blessed. Verse 3 again, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, here's a wonderful thought. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes and forsake me not utterly. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And here's a great question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's he going to clean up his act? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But again, the path is the word of God. Let's go to Psalm 1. The path is the word of God. Verse 1. Bless, and this is that same word for happy. Translated happy many times in the Old Testament also. Happy or blessed is the man that doesn't do three things here. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Those three things. Happy is a person that doesn't go down those three avenues of life. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Pretty clear. Pretty clear. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I know for sure my life, I'd like to be happy. I think most people are seeking happiness in one form or another. So how come all these bars have that happy hour? They know people will come in. I don't know. This is making me happy. And then on the cruise ships, they had this one clock, because they have clocks here and there, not too many of them, but they have them. And this one clock, it was for a bar, and it was at 5 o'clock, and it said, somewhere on the earth, it's 5 o'clock, so come on in. So it was pretty funny. But we don't have to wait for 1 hour a day. We can have it 24/7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Interesting. Talking about doing God's word, and it says, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And it does talk in Timothy, and it talks about in Peter, that if you're standing on God's word, you're going to have tribulation. We went over that about a month ago or so. Because we walk for God, the devil doesn't like us, he doesn't like God, and he throws tribulation towards God's people. And here it says, hey, you know, if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, you can still be happy. Hmm. Happiness isn't dependent upon how much money you have, or how much fame you have, or how much power you have, which is three things that the world keeps throwing at people that say, hey, if you had a lot of money, you'd be happy. Or, hey, if you had a lot of power, you'd be happy. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, if you had, what was the third thing I said?
Fame.
A lot of people know you. Well, when I was younger, I used to watch, you know, I said I was pretty observant. I used to watch people who were very famous, and then they'd do interviews on them, and like, I hate the life I have now. I can't go out. Anywhere I go, people want my autograph, or they want to take pictures, or they want to talk to me. I can't even go to the grocery store. And I'm thinking, this guy's living in a prison. Or if you've got a lot of power, the other powers that be that want you to do things that you don't want to do, that you think are wrong, but the powers that be force your hand to do things that you don't want to do. How many people love to do things they don't want to do? How many politicians have said, I wanted to do this, but I couldn't? I know that was the right thing, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm. It's got to be frustrating.
It is.
It is. She's been there. But, you know, what the world promotes is happiness doesn't really work. I've seen people in the Caribbean who are very, 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 very poor, some of them, and they're just smiling all the time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the money, lack of money, isn't causing that them to lose their smile. And I've seen people that are extremely rich, being miserable as can be, unthankful and not enjoying life, and we want to enjoy life. It's a good thing to enjoy life. So, and when stuff happens, we deal with it from the way God says to do it, and it works. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 13. Here's a real curveball to most people as far as what would bring happiness. I know a lot of people, you know, if you talk about the Bible to them, which we do talk to people, sometimes they think, oh, I don't want the Bible. You know, I want to live a happy life. I don't want to have to live the Bible. I was shocked when I first started learning the word, how much fun it was. I was just shocked. Couldn't believe how much fun it was, and it still is. This is Jesus Christ before the crucifixion, after his last meal with those believers, the apostles, and afterwards he washes their feet, and he gives them an example of service. And here their Lord and Master decided to do the lowest, or the job of the lowest, culturally, the lowest servant available, which would be a foot washer. You're washing people's feet when they come into the house, you're getting off whatever you're getting off. And it wasn't a real glorious job. It was considered the lowest, you know, the entry of the entry levels, so to speak. And he does that to these guys. And then he encourages them to serve like he had just served. And in verse 14, he says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet," taking care of one another's lives and help them. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, what? Happy are you." What are you, nuts? You mean you can have service, happiness through by serving? You know, it's just not really what people think about how to get happy. But God says, hey, if you take care of my people, you're going to be a happy person. It's just the way it is. There's a guy that works for me as a laborer. He's been a few weeks. Rubens met him. And he's somewhat interested in the Bible, a lot less than I thought. But we were driving, and he said, "Hey, what do you do for fun?" You know, and he's talking about, you know, he likes to race cars, and he likes to do this. And he goes, "What do you do for fun?" And I said, "Well, I love being able to help people. I love learning about God and teaching about God's word to people and helping. Where if a person has an interest in something in God's word, I love being able to help." He was totally silent. He didn't know what to say. And so then I said, "You know, like you had told me you had an interest in speaking in tongues, and I am ready to help you when you are interested. But so far you haven't been that interested. But if you get interested, I'd love to help you." He's still silent. Because he said he'd like to know more, but he really doesn't. But, you know, people don't think of it that way. The last thing people think of having fun is to help somebody else. But the word says, hey, if you understand this, you're a happy camper. You don't even have to go to happy hour. You got a happy day. So, God wants us to be happy, and the answer, as we know, is to do his word, to learn and grow in his word, and not to level out or to allow it to be stolen. He said, keep it diligently. What you got, guard it, and then try to grab a little bit more while you're guarding. Keep grabbing a little bit more while you can guard it, and guard it. Keep it. We don't want to be like Adam and Eve that had the most idyllic situation and let the serpent in and steal it. So, and this thing about, you know, if you know these things, happy are you that do them. So, it's a great life, you know. There are difficult times, but even through that, we can still enjoy life. It's available. So, that's what God wants us to do.